want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a collaboration between the Hackers Paradise and PutterZone.com, and is a monthly show that brings you closer to in and around the short game of golf, with a heavy emphasis on putters. My host each and every month is Sean from PutterZone, and I want to welcome him to the show. How are you, Sean?
Doing great, Josh. I'm fresh off a trip to Pebble Beach. I attended the practice round up there before the recent tournament and had a great time, so I'm still floating on that good memory.
Yeah, we both have had a couple of busy, last few weeks here as THP had their annual PGA merchandise show coverage, covering a lot of putters, obviously. You can catch that on the site. And then you just came back from Pebble Beach. What stuck out to you? What did you see?
Well, you know, I lived vicariously through your site. I couldn't quite make it 3,000 miles out to Florida. But
Next year.
Your site was the next best thing to be in there. And the next best thing for me in person was heading up to Pebble Beach and got to peek my head into some of the vans and the practice green and got to look at the new Tour Ghosts, which we'll talk about today, and the Nike Method Core. Got to hang out with Jason at Seymour, and their putter ended up winning the tournament in the hand of DA Point. So it was just an all-around good time. The sun was shining, and the crowds were small. It was a practice round. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, and it was a Seymour putter that won, and I believe DA plays the original FGP and putted lights out with it, no question about that.
Yeah, I feel like a lucky rabbit's foot now.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, you kind of mentioned some of the new stuff you've talked about, and obviously Tiger Woods has been in the news. I noticed that the Method was not in his bag last I checked, but he's flirted with it quite a bit, and we've discussed that on this show. But Nike has a new putter coming out called the Method Core. And, you know, we both spent a little bit of time with it, you a little more extensively than me. What are your thoughts on it? Can you just describe it for the listeners first?
Yeah, the Method Core is sort of the next generation, more affordable version of the original Method putter. And we've talked about the original Method. It's won twice on the tour in major tournaments. Tiger Woods has bagged it several times. And now they have this new iteration. And
before you go
out,
on, I should say sure. That it's not an evolution of the original Method. That line is not going anywhere.
Right.
This is a different putter. It's a complement to that line. Okay, go ahead.
It's still the unifying aspect of the Method Core with the original Method putters is their polymetal groove technology. But what's different is that groove technology is now encased in an aluminum insert, and the putters, instead of being all milled, are cast. And that allows them to make a more affordable version of the Method putter.
And a more affordable it is. It comes in at a great price point. I believe it's, what is it, $139?
I think it's $129.
$129? A great price point if the technology works for you. I've had limited time with it, like I told you. I found that it didn't give me the same feel of the Method, but I don't want to say that I felt as though the feel was worse or better. It's just a different feel. I actually like what Nike did with the insert. I think the aluminum has a nice audible tone to it at impact. And again, with the Method, you really are looking for the technology that they believe, you know, produces a more forward roll.
Right, and it still has the polymer groove with the secondary metal groove, and that's the core of what they call the polymetal groove technology. What is different is on the original Methods, the polymer is actually ported through the sole and extruded through the face of the putter. And what they told me in the van this week or last week was that because they now have an insert, they're not constrained by having to port the polymer through the sole. So this gives them more flexibility in the head shapes and designs that they're able to offer. So with this new Method Core line, you're going to see a lot more variation in head styles.
That is good news, I'm sure, to consumers everywhere. And again, the price is certainly good news. I also, a little birdie told me that this is the first year Nike is actually sponsoring players for both putters and footwear, and I know we mentioned it previously, so I have a feeling you'll see the Method putter in quite a few more tour players' bags over the course of 2011.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the years past, it was not something that Nike offered, and in 2011 that's changed, and I saw that John Daly put it in his bag, I'm sure based partly on that, as well as obviously he feels it works for his game. But I think you'll see a little more tour coverage out of the method, you know, over the course of the year, especially as the sponsorships move forward.
What they say about the groove technology is that you get – it's a lower loft, but the polymer increases the launch angle and the grooves impart top spin. So what you're getting is you're getting a proper launch angle with quicker top spin, and that's what they are selling this and the original method on. And that's what people are looking for when they buy this. So that's sort of the company line there, and they say that they have the results and the data to back that up.
I know that my co-host for In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal, got to spend some time at the Oven last year, and go over the making behind the original method, why it works, and this and that. And she came away very impressed as well. To me, this is a major step forward for Nike to have two tiers with the same technology, in theory, both the core and the original method. Again, it's not replacing the method, but more of going to work alongside it. And with having the two price points, I think that's a huge move for Nike moving forward, as I believe we'll see more swooshes on putters throughout 2011.
I'm a Nike fan. I'm behind them. I'm not a Nike hater, I guess. Not necessarily a fan, so to speak, but certainly not a Nike hater like a lot of people are for whatever reason. But I have to say, I think a lot of their more affordable putters in the past have been pretty questionable. So I like what they've done here is they've created a technology that's tour proven. They've gone out and put some pelts on the wall with it, and now they're taking that technology and dialing it back to a price point that more golfers can afford. So I think now in this more affordable price point, Nike has definitely stepped it up, just as they stepped it up in the higher price point with the original methods. So I think they're definitely ahead in their reviews.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is the right move at the right time for a brand that in 2011, it seems to have found their identity a little more with their clubs. Now, a brand that doesn't need to find its identity, and one that's creating buzz all over the golf equipment industry map, is TaylorMade Golf. And, while most people are sitting there talking about the new R11 and the new Tour Preferred Irons, one of the things that intrigued me at the PGA show were the Tour Ghost putters. They have a different look, but not entirely different. And I know you just recently spent some time with them out on the tour van as well at Pebble. What were your thoughts?
I really like the look of them. I haven't been able to roll one yet, but visually I think they've really stepped it up. And I'm pretty excited about these. I think that this Ghost line is really a wedge for them. And I think it's really helped them grow their presence in the putter category. I think to some degree they're like Nike, not so much. I mean, they've had more success previously to the Ghost line with their putters, but still, I think they've both really broken it wide open lately. And I think the Ghost has done that. And I think these new Ghost putters are definitely taking them to the next level.
It's funny you mentioned that, because TaylorMade, it appears, has made a major shift in their putter category. I always felt as though there were like 19 names in a TaylorMade putter going into last year. You had TaylorMade, Rosa, Kiama, and then the name of the putter, Monte Carlo.
Exactly. I've got one right here. I've got the Kiama. It says Rosa Kiama TP Monaco by TaylorMade. It looks like a Jeff Gordon car.
Yeah, it reminds me of the kicker on the NFL team, and his name is all the way out on his arms.
Right.
And it appears that they're losing that, and gone is the Rosa name, at least from the appearance sake. And while you won't see the Kiama line and the regular line, we're just going to talk about TaylorMade putters, and I'm a big fan of them making this move, because I think part of it was confusion. Part of it opens up the door for a lot of new ideas. And now we saw the evolution of the Ghost line last year with how big it was when Justin Rose finally won with one. And then Paula Kramer did it with the Daytona version, and how big that one was as well. And I think that this new Tor series, rather than adding 19 different names, just calling it the Tor Ghost and having a different colored soul and obviously some different mechanics to the putters, is the absolute right move, and I think it's a beautiful looking putter.
I do too. The contrast of the black and the white is really cool. I just visually, aesthetically, I think it really improves upon the original Ghost putters, and you don't have that reddish insert and the whole Rosa theme, and it's more streamlined, it's leaner and meaner, and I think a lot of people are going to respond to it. One question I had, I wasn't able to look at it from the top view, but I think it has like 4 degrees aloft, and I'm wondering, if that black insert, that face, catches the eye at all.
That's a really interesting question, and I've rolled a few with it. I haven't spent a ton of time with it. In my looking at it, that was my first question I was going to have, is when I look down, am I going to see the face, and is that contrast going to bother me?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say yes, you can kind of see it if you're really staring at the face of the putter. And as a putter person in general, when I'm on the course, I actually stare at the ball and not the putter. And I know that people are different and whatever works for them. But at least I am right now with my putting evolution, as I like to call it. But one of the things that I noticed is even with the contrast, that it does not bother you. In fact, it adds a nice range of focus that I really liked a lot. And I kind of look at this and say, wow, why didn't they do this the first time? But I thought the Ghost was very good with the alignment and everything else. But this contrasting color brings in a whole new level of my likability towards it.
And I suppose the insert before was a different color as well, so I imagine the effect. I just thought maybe the black might just jump out a little more, but maybe it adds to the alignment. If you do see it, you want it to be uniform. That would mean that you're square, and it also might keep you from leaning your putter back and adding loft at address if you see this huge black thing staring up at you. So maybe that's an actual asset.
It could be, and like I said, it was not noticeable. I would say much more than the red previously, but definitely a putter that at setup and at address as you make your stroke looked phenomenal. And
then when you pull the cover off and you look at the sole, just from a putter geek standpoint, it looks cool. They have that cool new Ghost logo along the bottom, and it's just got I think a lot of people could just be attracted to it on looks alone.
Yeah, the looks are what are going to drive this. Everybody knows that the TaylorMade Ghost line and this line in particular is going to have technology built in, and what TaylorMade feels will help people make more putts. We hear that from most companies and most marketing sides of things. This line is going to be drawn. Consumers are going to be drawn into it for the looks. We all know that. When you pull that head cover off and you look at the sole, it is one of the most striking I've seen to date. It's not something I expected in this line, and that's the best part of this, the evolution of this.
Yeah, the unexpected. That was the same for me when I first saw it. I'm like, whoa, right on.
And that's really all you can say. We shot some video with it and got some pictures of it at the show and even rolled a few of them, and that's the one thing that stands out is, wow, they hit the nail on the head with this one. And I don't think people have thought that about a lot of their lines in the past. Nothing negative, really. But just nobody – I don't remember that putter from TaylorMade, Rosa, TP, Kiama, model number and everything else in the past where you pulled the head cover off and you were like, whoa.
And going back to the spider putters, there was nothing like that with them.
No.
They were kind of
– They worked.
Yeah, but cool wasn't exactly the word that came to mind. And like you say, it does now. And – going back to sort of the lean, mean streamlining of, be remiss not to mention as well that the insert is now called Pure Roll. Again, very simple. It used to be AGSI plus anti-skid. I don't know, but again, it's just the package is just much tighter.
Yeah, and I believe that the marketing got involved with this and really got it together because Pure Roll is exactly what they needed to have. And mm-hmm. It makes all the sense in the world. I didn't want to have a bunch of letters. This goes back to an argument that is completely and utterly have nothing to do with this conversation, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. And that is the debate that's ongoing, that does somebody like a name of their club or 16 letters and 5 numbers? Do they want to see 909D63754, or do they want to see Killer Whale? You know,
I want to see Killer Whale.
Me too.
I'm an Apple guy. I like iPod Nano, iPod Touch,
yeah,
iPhone. I get it.
If they were called 1.2, 1.4, and 1.6, it would have a different ring to it.
Right.
I've always been a name guy. I liked the Howitzer and the Tommy Gun and the Killer Whale and the Judge, which was one of my favorites, and the Big Bertha. And I could be here for years.
And that's what I liked about like Rife, was that they had these tiers, like the Island series. Okay, so I understand the Island series is going to have a certain set of characteristics, and then they would have the Antigua and the whatever, and it was very easy to understand.
Exactly, and I appreciate that TaylorMade has done this. I don't want to see, you know, the four numbers and a plus, or four letters and a plus symbol symbolizing what it is. I want to hear pure roll. And
the model names here are like TM880.
I know.
So they have a little of that still. But.
And thank you for stealing my thunder, because I was moving to that next. They got it so perfect in every aspect. Tor, Ghost, Pure Roll. And then they make the model numbers. They sound like, you know, I'm buying an Infinity and not a TaylorMade putter.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope.
So please.
Because there's the Daytona in the past. You would have a name like that, the Monaco, the Daytona.
Right.
So to some degree, those could be reincorporated into something.
Yeah, I want to see.
So you could have the Tour Ghost Daytona.
Exactly, with Pure Roll technology. Does that just not roll off the tongue? I want to see TaylorMade, Tour Ghost, Monte Carlo with Pure Roll. I don't want to have a bunch of letters and numbers. But again, that's just one guy's rant. And apparently I'm in the minority, because almost every company now is changing these things to a bunch of letters and numbers. So
I don't get it. Is there research that suggests that's the way to go, or is it more just a...
Maybe they ran out of names.
The new Nike Method Core, I'm looking at it. MC-4i.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. If you're a company and you have to name clubs with as many clubs come out, you know, in pieces of equipment coming out each year... Is it easier to just have an evolution of numbers and letters, or is it easier to create a new name? And I think that that's the biggest issue. But it's an issue for them, not for me, and I want it back my way, because I'm being selfish and greedy like a little kid.
I'm with you.
So speaking of being selfish and greedy, one of the topics – it really isn't, but it sounds like a good segue. One of the topics that you and I discuss a lot off the air are the looks and aesthetics of a putter. And clubs in general, and one of the things that always stands out is finishes. Everybody has their preference of finish, and you know, when I look at a putter, obviously the first thing I see is the finish. There's so many now. You know, you have your oil quench, your bronze, your black, your white, your satin, your chrome, your gunmetal, your antique. I mean, we could go on and on for the numbers. What is your favorite finish?
Wow, loaded question. One of my favorite lately is the Borealis Black that we talked about last time on the new.
You're
going to
steal my thunder twice. Anyway, go ahead.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, yeah. That's
with
a good
this
one.
Putter to just not fall in love with that finish. So I guess we're both vying for a first love there.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we have all the Bettinardi putters here, and I've been rolling them around, and you know they have the different series, you know, the studio stock and the signature series. That black finish that they have, Borealis Black, is so striking. And to see that on the studio stock line is borderline criminal to me. It's so good. I would love to see more companies venture outside the box like that, because I think that shows that they're willing to take a risk. But, you know, it's a finish that definitely caught my eye immediately. Another finish that caught my eye immediately, and one that people always say, well, why, is a piano black finish. And I know that that kind of eliminates the reason to have black entirely, because it's got the gloss and could be glare. But I've seen so many of the piano black finishes recently, and I just love them.
What would be an example of that? I'm trying to put
That's a good question, because I'm not sure that me saying that is the most correct thing, because the one I got was a more of a prototype, but Seymour had one out in their DB4 series.
That's the putter that came to mind when you used that term. Was I have a DB4 Proto, and it's that finish that they have, and I think Peretti had a little bit of that going on too.
Yeah, Peretti's another one with their newly designed, you know, Cottonwood too, that I think is phenomenal, that we'll have to talk about again. We've done a show on that in the past. I think they call it Midnight Black, Peretti does.
Right. But that is, yeah, that piano black.
And yeah, you see it's a glossy Seymour, it's back, the... black. And Peretti, that's a great call, by the way, because their finish on that is unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's similar to that Seymour finish. And Seymour has a name for it that escapes me at the moment, but I'll find it.
Yeah, those are finishes that are becoming more and more popular, and I know the dark finish is about glare resistance in some ways, and obviously about personal aesthetics in another. But while we see companies shifting towards the white as TaylorMade's made such a big boom in this, I don't think finishes have to go that way necessarily entirely. Cleveland.
Well, black does provide a significant amount of contrast as well.
Right.
I was out with the Kia Ma, the Monaco, one of the originals. It's got a nice black finish to it, and I was impressed with how much it was jumping off the grass.
It's the contrast to me that gets it. I've always been a fan of the copper or bronze look, and the different looks of putters. And I'm not sure I have a perfect example of what my favorite is outside of the Borealis Black right now. But I'm loving that more and more companies are going with options, and it's not just for the niche and boutique putter makers anymore. We're finding more of the major manufacturers coming out with far different options for consumers. And let's face it, in the end, that's what wins. Options give consumers the best chance. So that's going to be our question this week, I think, is we have to pose to our readers is, what is your favorite finish on the putters you've seen that are either at the end of last year or coming up in 2011 that you're really looking forward to or that just strikes your eye? I think Sean and I both summed it up perfectly when he stole my thunder again and talked about the Borealis Black, because that's the one that jumps out to me, as well as Sean. Clearly, we want to know what from you guys, what is the finish that jumps out? And, we'll have the show up on both putterzone.com as well as thehackersparadise.com. And give us your feedback. What is the finish that jumps out? And let's get everybody's feedback, and maybe some of the companies will listen, and we'll get more answers and more choices for everybody.
Love it.
So for myself and Sean at putterzone.com, this is Josh from thehackersparadise.com. We have a slogan here, and that is, don't fear the greens, conquer them.